Cause you're beautiful. You got to be strong. Cause you're wonderful. You got to have faith. To have wisdom. Queen, you were built for this. How are y'all doing tonight? I know it's A. How are you doing tonight? I know it's B. I'm your host and steward, Shatoya Perry. I have Tiffany Williams with me, and we have an awesome episode tonight. We are on episode 19 of Queen, You Were Built for This, the podcast. And our episode tonight is titled The Importance of Knowing Who You Are, or Whose You Are in Christ, and overall, because it's very important to know who you are. It is important to have a sense of self, to know who you are within yourself, to know who God has called you to be, to know. And that's even before knowing what your purpose is just knowing all around who you are. So it's not necessarily in a sense of knowing what your purpose is or for the purpose of knowing what your purpose is, but just to know who you are. Because if you don't know who you are, then how can you understand what your purpose is?
Exactly. And it's more than just, oh, I got to find myself. Because a lot of people feel that you have to find yourself in order to know yourself. But the trueness of it is that God has already told you who you are. You just have to be willing to accept what he says about you and what he says to you and through you. Because he will speak to you about who you are. He will tell you that you're loved. He will tell you that you're special. He will tell you that you're important. He will tell you all these things, but you have to be willing to listen and understand that that's what is being said onto you.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So one of the first scriptures that I feel is important in helping people to understand who they are is in... They go either way. Some people will point you to Jeremiah 1:5. The 139th number of Psalm, verses 13 and 14. And we're going to cover all of those scriptures. Another one I think about is Jeremiah 29:11. And oh, that one's not on there. On the list. That's just one of those ones. It's just
right
off the top of my head. I know that one because it's one of those ones that I've looked up, because when you are questioning life and where you fit into life and how does, and you know, the hows, the what ifs, the all of that, Jeremiah 29:11 is always one of those scriptures that helps to give you balance.
Yes.
It helps to balance out your mind and your way of thinking. So the scriptures that I mentioned before is Jeremiah 1:5. I'm reading it from the New International Version. It says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Now, while you might not have a prophetic call on your life, because we're not reading this scripture to specifically deal with any spiritual
gifts
or calling talents on your life, we're looking at it as the base of God is telling you that He's known you.
He formed you.
Since before he formed you. He formed you. And I'm the way the, I'm probably getting ahead of myself a little bit, but one of the ways that God had talked to me, how he dealt with me about it is I've known you since before I formed you.
Right.
I've known you since before the foundations of the world began.
Yes.
And so thus it was I who formed you and knitted you together. One version might say, I knitted you together in your mother's womb. But it means the same thing. It means that I formed you. I am the one who placed every genetic cell that you need. I'm the one that caused those genetic cells to be. So I'm the reason why your parents, I'm the one who ordained even the meeting of your parents for you to have the specific genetic cells that you're supposed to have. Everything down to the gender. I'm the reason, and I'm the one who caused it to be. And so before we are appointed as anything, before we are in a place where we are trying to figure out what our purpose is and where we fit in, the first thing that we have to understand is that we were formed by God.
Yes. Most definitely. You have to know, you have to receive that. Because everything that we're going to tell you, it doesn't matter unless you receive it. You have to take it in and apply it to your life. So if you receive the fact that God created you, then you would know that God had a purpose for you. And God's purpose, God don't waste time. God does not waste time. God does not do stuff because he just have wayward energy that has to be done. And he says, oh, well, let me just do this because I'm bored. No, you were created. Who you are was created with a purpose and with a design and with a heart and with a mindset to do his will and to follow his way. Which brings me to Psalm 139, 13 and 14, the New International Version, which says, for you created my innermost parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well.
Yes, and this is one, a lot of people say all the time, like, this is one of my favorite scriptures, and you end up finding out that every scripture that you read that's encouraging, that's uplifting, that's loving, is one of your favorite scriptures. But it is one of my favorite scriptures because when I was learning who I am, learning about who I am, and learning about who I am before God, and all of that, this is one of the scriptures that God pointed me to. It's like, first of all, we have to deal with, for me, it was dealing with low self-esteem and dealing with not understanding any type of purpose that I had. And all of that for me was wrapped up and entangled together. So I had to learn, one, that I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. I dealt with fear and anxiety and everything else. And so when you deal with a lot of mental and emotional health issues on top of not knowing who you are, it can be difficult trying to understand how to differentiate the all of that and how to separate and categorize what takes priority over what, because everything is kind of like barraging and coming at you a mile a minute. And so another one of the bases is to understand that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are precious. You are loved. That God loves you so much that he took his time to shape you and to form you and to mold you and to cultivate you. Like, that in itself is amazing. That, like, and not just one person, not just one of us, but he did that for each and every one of us. So there's not one person who's more loved than the next person. There's not one person that's more special than the next person, because he is all of our fathers and he loves each and every one of us the same way.
Yes. And the thing that I would like to point out based off of what she said is that you can't let just anybody tell you who you are. You cannot just let anybody speak into your life, because some people have their expectations. Some people have their thoughts and their feelings. Some people have what I like to call their quote unquote definition of who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And when they start speaking who you are and you try to live up to those expectations, you forget that God did not call you to that.
Right.
God did not call you to be that or to do that or to have that. It's like a parent who takes a child and wants to live through that child's experiences,
mm-hmm.
and want to place the child in this area and that area because they themselves were unable to do that, and not take it into consideration that the child has to eventually come into their own,
mm-hmm.
realize what they want and what they desire. And most times we start seeing God as we see our parents.
Oh.
We start thinking that God has these expectations of us, that he has these quote unquote ideas of who we supposed to be. When in all honesty, all he wants you to do is be his son and be his daughter. And when you are a son and a daughter, you be obedient to your parent.
Mm-hmm.
You follow after your parent. You try to mimic your parent. And God is like, I am the ultimate father. I am the ultimate one who is part of your life. I'm the one who formed you. I made your mother and your father. So he's like, follow after me.
That hit real different, especially when you have aunts, uncles, cousins who compare you,
mm-hmm.
to your parents, to your mother, to, you know, oh, you look just like your mama did when you was her age, or you know, or they have, and then you have to be careful because your aunts and your uncles, they have expectations. And it's easy to get lost in the expectations of everybody else. Just like she said, it's easy, because if you grew up in any sense of, I just want to make my mom happy. I just want, mm-hmm. to make my dad happy. I just want to make them proud. I don't ever want them to be disappointed in me. And so you get lost in this cycle of, I have to do what everybody expects of me I have to live like this and I have to live like that. I have to do this. I have to speak like this and I have to walk like this and I have to talk like this, instead of understanding that you're going to fall short.
Exactly.
You're going to miss a mark because you're following a path that you weren't supposed to follow. It's okay to be inspired,
yes,
by those who are an influence in your life. It's okay to be influenced by them and to be inspired by them. And you're somewhat going to be influenced by them. There are going to be parts of their characteristics that's going to shape and mold who you become. But you don't have to be lost.
Amen.
In who they are. You don't have to lose the definition of who you are and who everybody else is around you. Because the thing is while you may have similarities to one another, you are your own self. And God wants you to be your own authentic self. He wants you to be who you are, so that he can use who you are to help the next person, not so that person can get lost and defined by who you are, but so that you can help them to understand that it's okay to be themselves.
Yes. Yes, most definitely. And she said something about being wrapped up and knowing that eventually you're going to disappoint people. That's the joy about knowing who you are in God, is the fact that you can't disappoint him. You cannot disappoint God because he already knows what you're going to do and how you're going to do it. He already knows that you're going to make choices and decisions that does not line up with his word, that does not line up with who he is. I mean, I've made many of mistakes in my life. I've made choices and decisions knowing full well that I was being disobedient to God. And I went as far as to pray for God to stop me in the midst of my disobedience. Stop me from being disobedient. Keep me from making this decision. But on the same line, I'm on the bus. At the same time, I'm getting off the bus. At the same time, I'm walking to the house.
Mm-hmm. Making your way downtown, as the song.
Now the song is in my head.
Sorry.
Making my way downtown, walking fast, faces passing, I'm homebound.
Okay. Anyway, so, back to the schedule program.
So basically, you recognize that God is not an overbearing parent.
Mm-mm.
He's not an overbearing aunt or uncle. His expectations of you, God only wants you to love and be loved by him. Mm-hmm. He only wants you to realize that you are special in him. And when you come to a realization of who you are before God, that you are his handiwork,
mm-hmm,
then you walk different and, yes, you talk different and you act different and you do the things that you know is to do right. Not because you're trying to please, not because you're trying to earn your way into heaven.
Oh Lord, because you can't.
But it's because out of the gratefulness of your heart, out of the gratefulness of your spirit, out of the gratefulness of your soul, you want to show God that he is the most important thing in your life.
Yes. Absolutely. And talking about God's handiworks is Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, is where it talks about, for we are God's handiwork. It says, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So everything that God would have you to do, he's already laid it out. It's been prepared since before time. Everything that God would have you to do. And like she said, God knows the thoughts that we have even before we have the thought. He knows the decision, the choices that we're going to make before we make it, before we know we're going to make it. It's not a mystery. So we can't take him by surprise. Now, our parents, they're finite.
Yes.
They don't have foresight that God had, you know, God, not necessarily saying that God has foresight, but he does.
He does. God is able to see
from afar off.
From afar off. He knows the path that we're going to take. And he is not limited. God is unlimitable.
Yes.
We can try to put him in a box all we want to, but he's going to eventually bust out that box and be like, why do you keep putting me in a box?
Right, because everything about God is infinite.
Mm-hmm.
It's infinite. Everything about God is infinite. Whereas when humanity is finite,
mm-hmm.
our way of thinking, our way of seeing things, Lord, the way that we see things are definitely finite. Mm-hmm. And part of the reason why I'm talking about this is, of course, those who have been listening know that I've talked about self-sabotaging behavior a while back. And one of the reasons why we have self-sabotaging behavior is because we don't know who we are. It's in the process of overcoming those limiting beliefs and all of those sabotaging behaviors and the sabotaging thoughts and all of that. Is you have to get through that in order to learn who you are. So it's kind of an ongoing process. It's one of the things that I mentioned before, is that it's an ongoing process. It's not something that you're just going to overcome right off the bat, but every once in a while you have to remind yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You have to remind yourself. Sometimes every day you have to remind yourself, there are things that are inside of my control and there are things that are outside of my control. Like transparency. Today, something that I care about that was gifted to me broke. And that hurt really bad. Because one, I take joy when people gift me things. I have a certain level of joy. And I try to treat it with respect and love. And I cherish the things that are gifted to me. Now, sometimes things happen that you absolutely cannot control. You can control how you respond to it. You can control if you beat yourself up about it. You can control if you get angry with the world about it. Those are things that you can control. You have choices. You can choose to go about your day understanding and acknowledging that your feelings are hurt, but not wallowing in the fact that your feelings are hurt, not wallowing in the fact that something happened beyond your control. Okay. That's not saying don't acknowledge it, because God wants us to acknowledge every feeling and emotion that we have. But how we choose to respond to those emotions.
Yes.
And that also deals with knowing who you are.
Yes. Most definitely. It has everything to do with what you put inside of yourself. What is in you? Are you putting good things on the inside of you? And I'm not talking about how you eat. I'm not talking about what you drink. I'm talking about what you put into your spirit. Because here's the thing. If you need alcohol, if you need weed, if you need some type of drug,
some type of substance,
if you need cigarettes to get you through your day, because life happens through your day, then that means that you have no sense of control over your life. Something else is controlling you. Mm-hmm. You are no longer in a position where you can choose what you do and how you do it. And it's not just that. It's anything. It can be sex. It can be money. It can be other people.
Mm-hmm. If you need to be around people.
Yes.
Like constantly throughout your day. If you cannot take or handle being by yourself for more than a couple of minutes. If you need to be on the phone with somebody throughout your day. And I'm not talking about to encourage others and to be uplifted. No, but you just need other presence around.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to be honest. In order to feel the presence of God, sometimes you got to be by yourself.
Yes. So, so true.
You have, and in God's presence is how we gain a sense of self, because he's able to speak to us. He's able to minister to us. He's able to heal and to correct and to shape us. And we do that in his presence. And there's nothing wrong with corporate worship. There's nothing wrong with corporate prayer. We have faith come by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God, and we cannot hear unless we are preached by a preacher. So you have to go to church in order to be able to be preached by a preacher. I mean, nowadays you have online, you know, on ministries that are recorded online, but there's nothing like fellowshipping.
Yes.
The Bible also says, forget not to assemble thyself together, which means coming together,
right,
in one place. So fellowship. So it's important. But that personal time with God.
Yes.
The yes. Personal worship, the personal praise, the personal prayer. You need that. That time reading your word. And developing and cultivating who you are. In God, that's how you cultivate who you are.
Yes, most definitely. Where it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone and the new is here. Now that's the new International Version. Mm-hmm. But the King James Version says, therefore, if anyone be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. You are new in Christ. You are not the same. When you accept Jesus Christ in your life, you die with him. You are crucified with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And then you are raised from the dead with him. Which means that all that bondage of expectations from other people, all that bondage of not being able to love yourself, all that bondage of self-sabotaging behavior, all that bondage of not knowing how to act and knowing how to assemble your mind that you may live for him,
mm-hmm.
all of that
goes away.
You are a new creature in Christ. Does that mean that
you're not going to have moments?
You're not going to have moments? Absolutely not.
You're going to have moments.
That old man is going to try to rise back up.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to try to rise back up, but that's why it's important to know what's inside of you. What are you putting on the inside of you?
Yes.
What are you watching? What are you listening to? What are you communing with? Because you commune.
Mm-hmm.
That's an actual thing. And if you're always communing with bad things, if you're always communing with things that don't edify you, if you're always communing with things that don't build you up, right, then guess what? When you stub your toe, guess what's going to come out of you?
Mm-hmm.
When you are driving and somebody cuts you off,
what's going to come out of you?
What's going to come out of you?
Right. And then another version, the Voice Bible, it says that, and this is also 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, it says, therefore, if anyone is united with the anointed one, that person is a new creation. The old life is gone, and see, a new life has begun. So that's three different versions of the same scripture, just so that you have a better understanding of what it is that is being communicated, is that we have to receive the fact that we have a new life.
Yes. We're dead to those things. We're dead to those hurts, to those pains of our past. We're dead to those things that come up against us and try to shape us and mold us into what it seems like we should be.
Yes, and you do not have, and the beautiful thing about knowing who you are is that you don't have to deal with the whole, I'm a product of my environment.
Yes.
You don't have to be a product of your environment. You don't have to be a product of your aunts, your uncles, those who raised you. You don't have to be a product of that. Because one, the best thing about knowing who you are and gaining an understanding of who you are is first understanding that you're not the old person that you used to be.
Yes.
Every day that you wake up, you have a new start.
Yes. Yes.
Every day that you wake up. So whatever sin you committed yesterday, when you wake up, it's behind you.
And if you ask for forgiveness, and also, it's forgiven.
Yes.
But you must ask for forgiveness.
You do definitely have to ask for forgiveness. You have to repent. Yes. And turn away from it. But the moment that you repent, the moment that you turn away from it, 180, not 360,
mm-hmm.
180, turning completely away from it and going forward. God says that old thing, I've forgiven and I've thrown it in the sea of forgiveness. I don't remember your sins. So if we ask God to forgive us, if we repent, truly repent, the God says, I don't remember it no more. He's faithful like that.
Yes.
It's no longer a concern to him because you have asked for forgiveness.
Yes.
You have to learn to forgive yourself and accept forgiveness yourself. That means not beating yourself up about the decisions that you should have made. Or beating yourself up about the decisions that you did make. Not beating yourself up for the choices. Not beating yourself up for the decisions that other people made for you.
Yes, that's a big one.
Not beating yourself up for anything that you did not have control over. Because you didn't have control over it.
And it doesn't mean that it's your fault. Abuse is not your fault.
No.
Rape is not your fault.
No.
Pain and issues, any type of abuse, be it physical, be it emotional, be it.
It's absolutely not your fault.
It's absolutely not your fault. Now, you have a choice. You can accept who you are in God and walk away.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can live in fear and stay. But fear is not of us. Fear is not of God.
It's absolutely not of God.
And if you accept fear as part of who you are, then you will never experience the fullness of who God is. That was Job's issue. Mm-hmm. Job had a fear issue.
Yeah. And it wasn't a healthy fear.
No, it wasn't a reverent fear at all.
A healthy fear, like you said, is reverential. It means that I acknowledge God. I honor him. I respect him enough to know who God is and his place in my life and my place in his. Right? Meaning he is the creator of all things. He is the author and finisher of our faith. He is our Father in heaven. I am his child. So, like, I respect my parent, I respect God because he is my heavenly Father. He is my parent. That, see, that's a reverential fear. But, oh my God, I'm so scared.
Let me sacrifice that just in case. Just in case if they do wrongdoing, just in case if I decide and make a decision that's not like God, let me just make a sacrifice. Let me just ask for forgiveness. That's fear. And God has not given us the spirit of fear. Mm-hmm.
1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 7.
But he has given us power, love, and a sound mind. That means that you have the strength within you. You can move forward. You mm-hmm. can know who you are. You can look yourself in the mirror and find beauty in yourself.
Yes.
Because that's the other flip side of this. The flip side of knowing who you are is having a healthy self-esteem.
Yes.
The Bible tells us that we ought not to think
more highly.
But we are supposed to think highly of ourselves because we are a royal priesthood.
Yes, we are heirs.
We are a holy people.
We're a co-heirs to the throne. So if you are a co-heir of the throne, it means that you're royalty. And if you're royalty was looked at a certain type of way. They were treated a certain type of way. They treated themselves regally, elegantly. Okay? That meant not doing any and everything to themselves and allowing any and everything to be done to them. They were not garbage cans and they were not treated as garbage cans.
No, they were not.
So that means not allowing people to treat us any kind of way. Because we have to understand that we're worthy because God says that we're worthy.
Yes.
We're worthy because he called us co-heirs, joint heirs with Christ. That's who we are. So if we're joint heirs with Christ, then that means that we're worthy. Now, yes, our righteousness is a 50 rags, but that's righteousness that's if we deem ourselves as righteous.
Absolutely.
But if God says that we're righteous, then it's not the same as self-righteousness.
Because self-righteousness will send you straight to hell. We believe in hell over here.
Mm-hmm.
We believe in heaven. We believe in hell.
Yeah.
Hell is a real place.
It is.
And you will find yourself there if you believe that you are so righteous and so holy.
Mm-hmm.
Because We all sin and fall short of the glory of God. All of us. But God is so faithful to mm-hmm. forgive us.
Yes,
he is so faithful to love us through it. He's so faithful to mold us and shape us.
He's just.
He's a just God.
Mm-hmm.
That's why so many people go to prison and then they come out a different person.
Mm-hmm.
Because they have nothing else to do but to read. They have nothing else to do but to get counsel. They have nothing else to do but to listen.
Yeah.
And so some of them convert. They become Christians. They become Muslim. They become Islamic. But that's because they're trying to change their lives. They don't want to end up back where they came from.
Yeah.
They have accepted forgiveness. They have accepted. Now, those who come out Christian, they have accepted forgiveness.
Yes.
Those who come out Muslim or Muslim or Islamic, they feel like they have to work
to be forgiven.
That they have to put in the time and the effort. But we know that Jesus already put in the time and the effort. He died on the cross for our sins.
Yes.
He died for us. Which brings me to Galatians 2:20. Which says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live is the body. I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me.
Mm-hmm. And then I wanted to go back because we mentioned Romans chapter 8, verses 16 and 17. And that says that the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are God's children, then we are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory.
So there's a glory waiting for you. There's a glory in God waiting for you, but you have to know who you are before God. You have to know who you are, period. Because if you don't know who you are, that means you wanted to accept anything that anybody brings your way.
Mm-hmm.
You wanted to accept being called a hoe. You wanted to accept being called the B word. You wanted to accept listening to music that degrade you, that bring you down, that does not edify you. You're willing to chant your own degradation.
Mm-hmm.
And speak it out. Words have power. Your words have power. So you're willing to accept, oh, this, that, and the other. I'm a boss bee. No, what? What happened to being a queen? What happened to being a co-heir? What happened to being sanctified, being a lady?
Because that's who God's called us to be. He's called us to be sanctified, set apart. We're peculiar people. We're not supposed to be like everybody else, which means that we're not supposed to be singing the same songs. We're not supposed to be dressing the same. We're supposed to look different.
And we're supposed to act different.
And we're supposed to be different. We're supposed to live different.
But that all comes with knowing who you are.
And another thing, yes. And another thing, another reason why it's important to know who you are is so... Another importance is not losing yourself at any type of relationship.
Yes. That's a big one.
When you know who you are, even when God brings your husband to you, when you know who you are, you don't have to worry about feeling like you're losing yourself to your marriage. Or losing yourself in your husband, losing yourself in shadows of your children. You don't have to worry about that. You don't have to lose yourself in your job, worry about not knowing who you are. Those are reasons why it's important to have a sense of self, to have a sense of who you are. It's so you know. When you married, you know that I'm a wise woman. And the wise woman built her house, and the foolish woman tears it down with her hands. When you're a wise woman, it's easy to accept that you become the image of what we call a Proverbs 31 woman. We're not saying that you're going to be exactly that woman specifically in Proverbs 31, but you're not intimidated by the Proverbs 31 woman.
Amen.
You're not intimidated by her. When I first got married, I was intimidated by the Proverbs 31 woman. She had everything together. It doesn't talk about the process that it took for her to become that way. It just talks about her being that way. It talked about her children praising her in the gate. It talked about her being the honor of her husband. It talked about how she was in the process of acquiring land.
She was a businesswoman.
She was a businesswoman. That's what it talks about, but we don't understand that there was a process in order for her to become who she was when we read about her. There's always a process. There's always a learning curve. And you have to be willing to learn who you are, and you have to be willing to accept who God says you are.
Yes.
Because that's how we know who we are, is because that's who God says that we are. He says that you're the head and that you're not the tail.
That
you are above and not beneath. He says that you're blessed.
And not cursed.
And not cursed. This is what God says about us. He says that we're cherished. That we are a new creation. He says that we are created in his image and in his likeness. Genesis 1:27. For God created man in his own image, and he created him in the image of God. He created them male and female, and he created them. He them. That's what God did. He made no mistakes.
None whatsoever. And when you don't know yourself, you can easily fall into the pitfalls of allowing someone else to tell you who you are, allowing someone else to say and speak things over your life that makes no sense. If you like basketball, or you like football, or you like, oh, you too masculine. You not a woman. You're not a man if you like doing hair.
No, God put many gifts
and
many talents in us.
And there is no such thing as boy jobs and girl jobs. We are all capable of doing beautiful things. We are all capable of making wise decisions about who we are and about our lives. We are capable.
Yes.
Because God has made us capable. Who you are right now is not who you're going to be 10 years from now.
No.
Who you were 10 years ago is not who you are right now.
Mm-mm.
You have learned some things. You have gone through.
You've grown. And hopefully you've matured.
Yes, hopefully.
Because that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to grow and we're supposed to mature. We're not supposed to stay the same forever. There's always going to be a growing. There's going to be a maturing. So don't be hung up on what you didn't know yesterday. It's important that we don't get hung up on what we didn't know yesterday, what we didn't know 5 years ago. We can't be caught up in saying, if I knew what I knew 15 years ago, Because guess what happens when you get caught up and hung up on if you knew 10, 15 years ago what you knew today? You get caught up in regrets.
Yes.
And when you get caught up in regrets, it's hard to continue on and who God has called you to be. There are many distractions. There are many hangups. There are many things that is going to try to pull you away and try to hold your head under the water of I'm not good enough.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to drown you in the mistakes that you made. But don't allow yourself to be drowned in who I used to be and who you used to be.
Yes.
Because you can't be a new creature if you're being drowned in who you used to be. If you're being drowned and I'm not good enough. If you're being drowned in anything that is not of God.
And we're not saying that this stuff is easy. It's not. I personally had to go through therapy to get to a sense that some things were not in my control. And that because of those things were not in my control, then that means it's not my fault. That means that what is in my control is whether I forgive or not. What's in my control is whether I let this define me or not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Am I going to always perpetually be the victim? When am I going to be the victor? When am I going to shout the victory?
Yes.
And that comes with maturity.
It does. It does. It's a process. It's a process. And that's one of the reasons why we have to have wise counsel.
Yes. Yes.
That's a godly counsel. Why we have to have somebody who knows God and will help us. Somebody who can get a prayer through. Because if you don't have wise counsel, if you don't have godly counsel, you can't. Some things you can't just go to anybody about. You cannot just go to anybody about anything and everything. You have to have those who you know the word of God, who have an intimate relationship with God, who has spent time in his presence. They ain't got to know everything about everything, but they surely have to know God. They surely have to know his word.
And they surely have to be connected to you. Because one of the things that I've learned by being a sister, and I'm not talking about being a biological sister. I'm talking about being a spiritual sister.
Mm-hmm.
As being a spiritual sister, your heart and your mind and your spirit has to always be thinking and praying and seeking God on behalf of your sister.
Yes.
You have to have a mindset that says that I want to speak life into my sister, speak life into my brother, speak life into my godchildren, speak life. And you can't speak life if you have no life in you.
Which is why you have to speak life into yourself, which is why you have to read your word daily. Even if it's one scripture a day, that's one more scripture a day than what you had before.
And meditate on God's word. Take a scripture and just think about it. Think about how it applies to your life. Think about how it can transform your mindset.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're talking about being transformed by the renewing of our minds.
Yes.
Your mind has to be renewed because your mind is full of things. We get intimidated with things from the moment that we're born. The first thing that happens to us is a bright tail light gets shined up in our face. We get intimidated with sounds that we didn't hear before. We get intimidated with doctors and nurses all trying to get us clean. And so we're feeling new sensations that we didn't feel before from the moment that we come out the womb. And then we finally get placed in a place of comfort. We finally hear our mother's voice. We finally get to hear her heartbeat.
Right.
And that's for normal people. Not everybody gets to experience that.
Mm-mm. Sometimes you are born and you are rushed straight to the NICU. And the PICU.
Mm-hmm.
Or the PICU. Sometimes you're born and you rush straight to surgery. You don't have the ability to have that skin to skin moment with mommy.
And all you know is the sounds, the pokes, the cuff on your foot.
Why y'all poking me and prodding me? And of course you're a baby, so it's not like you can actually ask that question.
Not at all.
But it's happening.
And that's something that's outside of your control.
Mm-hmm.
So you instantly, from the beginning that you're born, you learn that you're not in control.
Right.
That's a tough pill to swallow. From the moment that you come from your mother's womb, you realize, hey, I'm not in control. Now, if you have a good mother and a good father, they place some control back in your life.
Mm-hmm.
You get to choose when you eat because you're going to cry until you get it. And we're not talking about, we're not trying to say that your life has to be perfect.
No.
Because it's the imperfect things that God treasures the most. If he wanted the perfect things, trust me, the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the scribes, all those who thought they were perfect, mm-hmm. he would have went along with them.
Right. But he came not for those who had it together.
Yes.
He didn't come for the saints. He came for the sinners. He came for those who didn't know better. He came for those that were broken, hurt, and lost. Those that were dealing with confusion. Why did he come for them? Because he's not the author of confusion.
Absolutely.
So he came so that we don't have to deal with confusion.
Yes.
He came for those who need to be healed, delivered, and set free. He's the good shepherd who left the 99 sheep and came after the one to bring it back. He said, I have some sheep that are of my fold, and I have others who are not yet of my fold.
Them I must also bring.
Them I must also bring. So there is one giant fold.
And there'll be one shepherd. So you are special. You are important. You are liked.
Yes. You're loved.
You're loved.
Beyond compare.
You are so desired. You're wanted.
Uniquely created.
You were shaped with purpose.
you were adopted into a royal family.
You were chosen.
Destined by God.
Purposed. Know who you are. I think this is going to be a part two. What you think?
Yeah, definitely. Because there's so much more to it. It's so much that even in these verses that you can't cover every single thing.
Yes.
And so I am especially grateful to be able to have this platform, to be able to help those who may come across my podcast and need help, need reassurance, need somebody that's willing to take the time to help them learn who they are. Because not everybody is blessed to have somebody that's going to help them learn who they are. Not everyone is blessed to have somebody that's not going to take advantage of them and take advantage of their gifts and their talents and are going to take time to seek God on their behalf to cultivate them and to help build them up and lift them up. That's one of the reasons why it's important to have a church home.
Yes.
Because you'll have somebody, you'll have a family of people who are willing to do what it takes to lift you up and to cherish you and want to see you grow.
Yes.
That their desire is to see you grow and thrive.
Yes.
So, yeah, this is definitely going to be more than a one-parter. I thank you all for listening, those that are going to listen. I thank you all for coming and joining us on Queen, You Were Built for This. And please, 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 please remember, Queens, that you were built for this. And Kings, you were built for this too, but I'm specifically talking to my sisters in Christ, that y'all were built for this. And please have a wonderfully, wonderfully blessed rest of your day or night or whatever time of day it is when you hear this. Love you all. Bye-bye. You got to be bold, 'cause you're beautiful. You got to be strong, 'cause you're wonderful.